Hey, hey, this is Tracy B., author of Two Tears in a Bucket, AAMBC's 2010 Book of the Year. And today on the podcast for BestEbonyBooks.com, we'd like to welcome, now that would be too easy just for me to give you his name. So instead, how about I share a few titles with you? Torn Between Two Lovers, Big Girls Do Cry, Up to No Good, Something on the Side, The First Lady, So You Call Yourself a Man, The Preacher's Son, Player Haters Looking for Love, Married Men, Baby Mama Drama, Cue the Applause, Somebody Else Bring Me Some Oxygen and Some Water, as we welcome the one and only best-selling, New York Times best-selling author, Carl Weber. Hey, Carl!
Welcome, and thank you
for joining us today.
Nah, the pleasure's all mine.
Thank you. Now, look. You published your first book, Looking for Love, in 2002. Now, here we are, 11 years later. Now, am I correct when I say you have 16 titles under your belt, and 11 of those are New York Times bestsellers? Carl, okay, so what? Did you come out the womb with a manuscript in your hand?
You know what? Believe it or not, writing was not even my passion. I was a bad English student. I mean, the only thing I ever wanted to do was to own 5 McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Now, talk about being kissed by God. Now, it took me 2 years to write my novel. How long does it typically take you to pen one of your masterpieces?
Part of the reason for that is because I'm trying to stay consistent. I don't want people to forget who I am. So the writing process, I usually take like 3 or 4 months off, and you know, I start writing somewhere in the neighborhood of about January, and you know, I usually finish up somewhere around June. So it takes me about 6-7 months.
Wow. Okay, now what would you say has been the key to your success?
About what I know. I'm trying to write about things that are interesting to people. I'm not just, you know, a lot of writers say things like, you know, I'm just writing for myself, you know, but I'm writing for my fans. So I'm always trying to outthink them and give them twists and plots and things, you know, take you away from your problems and bring you into the world of drama-filled Carl Weber.
There you go. Now, with so many novels, is there a character that you can relate to the most? Was there one created in your image, kind of?
Well, it's kind of weird, yeah. You know, people always ask you as a writer, you know, I know you always write about yourself, but I'm a little different in that area. I wrote one book, my third book, which is Baby Mama Drama, and the character Dylan was actually me. Other than that, I really write about other people or combinations of other people that I know or things that I've heard about that I thought were interesting. I'm always trying to make sure that the characters are as realistic as possible, so I always try to give them flaws and different things like that. But, you know, other than the character Dylan from Baby Mama Drama, I'm kind of having this sort of like fantasy world that I kind of write about, which is like this, it's Jamaica, Queens, where I grew up. I have the church, I have men characters that I write about, so they all kind of live in this, you know, fictitious world of mine, Jamaica, Queens, that I kind of grew up with in my mind.
Gotcha. Now, in addition to being a best-selling author, you're the prime example of what Jay-Z raps about in Kanye West's remix of Diamonds. You're not just a businessman, but you're a business man. You're the founder and publisher of Urban Books and the owner of a successful chain of bookstores. So you're so deeply rooted in the literary world. What advice could you give to myself as a new author and the other authors out there that are, you know, want to be the next Carl Weber or Terry McMillan? What advice could you give us?
The first thing is keep writing. I think a lot of people, you know, it's really hard to, as they say, smell the roses, because before you know it, you really need to have another book out before people kind of forget you. So by the time your book comes out, you need to be in the writing process to get the next book out. And a lot of people make that mistake. Putting out a book every year is extremely important. You know, people people are fickle, they have a tendency to forget. And, you know, you put out a good book, and the next thing you know, somebody else puts out a good book, you want you to be forgotten really quick. So I think it's very important to put out a new book. And, you know, you got to go out there and hand sell. It's not as easy as it was when I first started it now as it is now. You really have to hand sell books because there's so much really good competition out there.
Yeah, that's true. That is so very true. Now, how do you select your authors for Urban Books? And is there an author that you didn't sign that you regret?
Sometimes it's a process. You know, we do get manuscripts in from time to time, but a lot of times, you know, it's about relationships. It's about meeting somebody and getting a good vibe about that person, or somebody telling you about, wow, you know, this is really good independent book out there that you really need to take a look at. You know, it's a combination of a whole bunch of things. As far as signing somebody, there are people that that I have a lot of respect for that, you know, I possibly could have. But I think we've made really good choices for our company. You know, not every author is for every company, and sometimes timing isn't great. You know, at my company, we work a year out. Right now, we're working on the beginning of the 2012 schedule. You know, I've had authors that I really wanted to sign, but they wanted a book out in 2 or 3 months, and we just couldn't accommodate it. So it's not one particular person, although there are a lot of people that we passed up on that, you know, that have had these great careers that we wish we were part of.
Okay. Now, out of all the new authors out there, who do you see as the next up-and-coming hotness? And you can't name one that you've signed.
Well, I mean, a lot of people know this, and part of this is because I discovered them, but I think Ashley and Equatus are two of the hottest, most innovative authors out there right now. I just think that they have huge upside potential.
Gotcha. Now, as a publisher, what were your thoughts when you first heard about e-readers and e-books?
My original thoughts was that it's going to take a long time to equate. I still think it's going to take a lot longer than most people think. So what a lot of people don't understand is that e-books are really only about 10% of the market. Now, I believe in the next 5 years they'll become about 30% of the market. But in the African-American market, it's such a smaller percentage. It's more like 1% of the market is e-readers. It's going to take a while. Young people that are going to grow up on e-readers, and then they're going to start to move over. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing for authors in the long run, but right now, I think people are trying to go that direction, and it may end up hurting them because they won't, you know, they're going out e-reader-wise, but they're not getting shelves space on the shelves, and that's important. Because, you know, except for the diehard readers that are running to get Kindles because they read, you know, 2-3 books a week sometimes, you have people that just read a book casually, and those people, they usually sustain an author.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, Carl, when you were writing Big Girls Do Cry, I heard in an interview that you studied women size 14 and over. Now, I'm a size, and I'm just curious... What did you learn about the grown and sexy size 14 and over population?
Well, I've grown into a lot of them, and they bought a lot of books and probably pretty tough to sell the list, I know that much. I've always been a lover of plus size women, so you know, it's just me and my crew. We go that way. But I just thought that there was being a huge disservice being made to plus size women as far as books were concerned. You know, they were always sloppy, nasty, and I don't like that thought process, first of all. So what I did was I basically wrote books that, you know, when you read them, yes, the woman may have been a size 14 or larger, but you really never thought about their size after the initial description of what they look like, because, you know, I don't know, you know, I know a lot of single people, but most of the single women that I know that are plus size, you know, either just got out of a relationship or, you know, or just starting to date. I mean, you know, to me, big is sexy, and sexy is big.
There you go. There you go. Now, in your novel, So You Call Yourself a Man, one of the most interesting characters was Jackie. How did you come up with Jackie's voice?
Well, it was something that I wanted to do for quite a few years. By the time I got to So You Call Yourself a Man, I just decided that I wanted to do a character. I wanted to see if my writing ability could make somebody think something without them having all the facts.
Gotcha.
And be completely wrong. It was really a challenge to myself to see how well I had mastered the craft up to that particular time. And, you know, I actually pulled it off. It was a pretty proud moment, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you pulled it off. Boy, did you. Okay, now you have another book coming out really soon, The Quiet Director. Tell us about your next New York Times bestseller.
You know, in all honesty, I think it's the best book I've ever written.
Oh, wow.
I don't say that very often because I have a lot of personal favorites. This book has sex appeal. It's got a mystery feel. It's you know, a quick page-turning read. Aaron Mackey, the choir director, is probably one of the most interesting characters I've ever come up with, and I think he's going to help me and my career in ways that, you know, no other character has ever helped. I think he's going to be a character people are going to think about for a long time.
Wow, and the choir director will hit bookshelves when?
January 25th. A week from
Tuesday. Wow, yay! Okay, now, we know about the Carl Weber, who's a New York Times bestseller, the Carl Weber who owns the successful chain of bookstores, the Carl Weber who owns, you know, Urban Books. Now, tell us about the Carl Weber behind all of that. How do you relax? How do you enjoy life besides writing? You can't name anything that involves the literary world.
Well, I love going fishing. My thing. I have a boat. I do a lot of fishing almost every single week during the summertime. Me and my buddies. And I'm a family man. I love my kids. They're my thing. I'm really not supposed to talk about this, but so much. But they're in production right now. Or casting, as far as production is concerned, for the First Lady, and there has been the option for TV rights for the choir director have already been purchased, so we're really...
Go, Carl. Oh, my goodness. Kiss by God. That's exactly what that is. Kiss by God.
I'm hoping.
Yes, indeed. Again, much success to you. I'm a fan, and I'm sure everybody who's listening is a fan, and we just thank you for joining us today at bestebonybooks.com for the podcast, and good luck to you, my brother.
No, thank you so much, and it's always a pleasure. Go with Carl.
Great. Thanks, Carl.
All right. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.